right, and we will be reading from Romans chapter 1, from verse 8 to 17. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in telling the good news about his Son, that I constantly mention you, always asking in my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I want very much to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I have had among the rest of the Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and barbarians, to both the wise and the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Nancy. Let me pray for us as we jump into our time together. Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace, your great love for us in this house, your people. Holy Spirit, we give you free course. Reveal what needs to be revealed. Bring encouragement where it needs it. And Lord, help us to follow you more nearly. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Here's my title this morning. This one thing, the righteous will live by faith. This one thing, the righteous will live by faith. Here's my main focus. Faith is believing God enough to live as though what he says is true. I'll give a little bit of background to this text. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, a church he didn't establish, and he's writing to them in advance of a long-delayed visit. Romans is one of Paul's longer writings, and it's pivotal because it gives the most in-depth sort of details and explanation of the gospel. It's meaningful in many respects, even historically, because many historians regard Romans 1:17 as the verse God used to transform Martin Luther's understanding of the gospel. This verse, in many respects, would be the spark to the Reformation itself. As we return to the text, I want to read verse 8. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported in all of the world. Here's my first point. Be a social influencer. Be a social influencer. Though our lives may seem hidden, yet we choose to live out what we believe. When you think about being a social influencer, you might think of someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, who has over a billion social media followers and has a lot of influence. Now, in thinking of a person like that, you might be tempted to think that that means that you yourself need to become more vocal, or that if you are maybe more of an introvert, that somehow you need to be more of a people person. But I'd rather you not think in those terms. Rather than the first name Cristiano, I'd rather you think about a name like Susanna, and her, depending on how you define it, 10 or so followers. Susanna was born in London in 1669. Her father was a Puritan minister. A sign of her faith and conviction would come early as she decided, based on her study of the Bible, to leave her father's nonconformist church at the age of 13 and join the Church of England. She would later marry and have 19 kids, of which, yeah, 19. I didn't misspeak that. 19 kids, of which only 10 survived past infancy. Her husband was also a minister and would leave home for extended periods of time, leaving her responsible for the household. In spite of this, she dedicated her life to discipling her 10 children faithfully, even making room, setting aside an hour for each child per week to make sure they got the one-on-one time that they needed. She endured much with the loss of children, a husband frequently gone for ministry purposes, the house burned down not once but twice, and financial hardships were common. Yet her faithfulness and theological intellect would have great influence on two of the most important people to impact lives for Jesus. Two of her sons, John and Charles Wesley, would play a pivotal role in their respective rights in the Methodist Church movement. Susanna Wesley's life was hidden by society standards. She never preached her own sermons from a pulpit or authored any books. Nevertheless, she did not view her life as hidden, but lived out her life circumstances by faith, and by some accounts, she is called the mother of the Methodist movement. As we return back to the text, Paul states that the faith of the Roman church is being reported on in the whole world. What was it about their faith? We don't have a ton of details on this, but we can suspect that in the seat of Roman imperial power, and at a time where the Roman Empire had not yet embraced Christianity, but had actually been an ardent persecutor of Christianity, that they probably endured some trials. I would suspect that Susanna's life and the life of the Roman church probably had a lot of similarities. As a matter of fact, we do get a little bit more of a clue later on in the book of Romans as to exactly why their faith was being reported on. Toward the end of the book, in chapter 16, verse 19, Paul says that their faith is being reported on because of their obedience. Any life that results in a testimony of faith, obedience is never far behind. A life of faith that results in a testimony being reported, it is equivalent to a life that has embraced a life of obedience. When I look back at my life, I can look at moments when I've disobeyed. But when I have chosen to obey God, I see the fruit of it. It's a very simple concept, but I don't know about you, but I sometimes still struggle with that. But we see here that despite a life that by society standards that seemed to be hidden in the life of Susanna, we don't know most of the people who were part of the Roman church, yet their testimony still echoes to us generation after generation after generation. What does that mean for us? Do you view your life as hidden? Do we see our current station of life as not having significance or the potential for God to move? Parents, your kids might know more about TikTok, but you remain the most important social influencer in their lives. Teenagers, your conviction not to follow the crowd and be secure in your identity in Christ has power to change those around you in a way more Instagram followers can never do. If I were to sum up this moment together, would be to simply say this: faith believes God can use an ordinary life. Now, we may still struggle with that. Let me try to just help us a little bit more. One of the ways to see ourselves as maybe more significant is to maybe think about just the number of people that we interact with on a regular basis. Now, this ranges widely based on our life experiences and a host of other factors. But a study was done about 4 years ago that really tried to demonstrate what the average person in the United States engages with in terms of the number of encounters per day of people they meet. And it says that, according to this study, that roughly 14 interpersonal contacts happen every single day. Now, that might not seem significant, but then if you multiply that over the course of a year, that's over 5,100 contacts every year. Now, some of that will be overlap and duplication, some of the same people. But my point is simply this, is that if we think that, man, my life is pretty routine. I see a lot of the same people every day. It does not really speak of, man, I'm going to be a great social influencer. You only need 10. That was good enough for Susanna. As a matter of fact, if we're honest, if she had just picked the two, right? It's not to suggest that the other eight didn't have an impact. I'm just simply saying, you follow what I'm saying. It does not have to be many for God to use it. He's not looking at quantities, which is what we oftentimes define success and influence. He's looking at our hearts to say, will you be faithful over what I've given you? So whether you are here in Greenville and you didn't really want to be, or the job you're in isn't what you want or hope, or your family situation isn't the best, your faith matters because your lives are not hidden but have an impact on others around you. Here's my second point. Come to the potluck. We refuse to isolate, but enter into community with expectation. So recently got together with some friends. We were going to gather to be able to watch a little bit of the World Cup and also watch a movie. And initially when I got the text, it was maybe on a Thursday. We were going to gather on a Saturday to get together. I thought to myself, man, I don't know if I should do it because I was really thinking about just laying low on Saturday, just kind of chill. You know, it's been a long week. You know, you're already thinking about the weekend, right? Think in advance. You know, parents, you know, if you get something that's not like 2 weeks out, it's late, right, in terms of a heads up. So I'm thinking that way. Then I thought, man, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump in, and I'm not going to delay. I'm going to commit right now and do it, right? So I sent in a text, like, yeah, I'm in. I'll be there, right? And I'm so glad I did, right? So we gathered. It was maybe like 12 or 15 of us. I'm not sure how many were there. And we had a great time of just fellowshipping, having fun. There was food there. It wasn't exactly like a potluck, but we all chipped in monetarily, right? So we all helped out, chipped in. So it was really, really good. Now, why do I highlight this to you? It's because I had a choice to make. I had to make a choice to prioritize this moment of fellowship because I expected to receive something. What did I expect to receive? Oh, some fun, some good-natured ribbing, some laughter, hopefully some pretty good food. And all of that was a yes, yes, and yes. So we prioritize moments like this because there is an expectation that there will be mutual benefit. So let me kind of bring this home a little bit further. So we jump back into the text here. I want to highlight a couple of important concepts of expectation and impartation. Here in verse 11, it says, "For I want very much to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." Now, remember, Paul had never met this group of people. They had been thriving as a church. But here in his heart, in this letter, you can hear the anticipation of coming to see them. And not just the anticipation of coming to see them because I'm going to preach the good news to you. I'm going to preach and share something that I have to impart to you. He says that I'm expecting that there will be a mutual impartation, that there will be some spiritual gift that we will mutually be able to receive from one another. I want to really, really highlight this because it can be, I don't want this to be watered down by the term potluck, right? There is a place that's good and right for fellowship and friendship and hanging out. And we often, as I have said, we prioritize those moments and we should. But what I really want to emphasize here is that this idea of entering into community, I want us to remember what Jesus said about his church. He said that I am establishing my church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have all been called into something that's more than just a potluck. We've been called into something that has been designed by God to be the hope for the world. The preaching, the declaration, and how we live out our lives by faith is a testament to a world that needs hope. So in the same way that we might prioritize other spheres and groups of people, God has called us to say we need to prioritize this because there's something that we can't get. Even in a good friendship moment, there is this gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us. I want to recollect something that happened some years ago. He's in the room. I hope he doesn't mind me pulling him in unannounced into this sermon. But my friend Randy Bowling, who's over there in the corner. If you've never had Randy's spaghetti, you need to have it. It's great. Now, I've probably, in the roughly 20 years I've known Randy, I've probably only had it twice. So that's great. But the impartation of what when we get together, of what he encourages me with his journey of faith, his life stories, his music and love for Jesus, there's an impartation to me that is immeasurable compared to a simple meal. And I hope likewise that there's something that's inside of me that God has deposited within me that hopefully has imparted something to him over these 20 years. There is something unique as I look out into the audience and I see all these different faces. Some of you I've been journeying with for a long time, 20 years, some maybe just a few months, but there's an impartation by the Holy Spirit that we receive when we gather together. And when we prioritize that and we come with the expectation that something's going to happen, right, God moves. Maybe it's not the most profound thing that happens every Sunday morning, but the opportunity for God to move is always present. And I want us to be encouraged this morning because some of us have struggled with the journey of faith in part because we have not been able to fully embrace community. And some of that is genuine. Like Paul says here in the text that I've been prevented from coming to you. And there can be things that prevent us from getting into community. Maybe you're just simply new here today. It's your first day. It's like, yeah, I'm just checking y'all out. Praise God. I would encourage you, go to our connections desk, find out a little bit more about us. As you are on this journey of faith, trying to determine where God is leading you. Maybe you've been coming for a while and you've heard something about life groups and you've been trying to get in and it's not been successful. We want to help you be successful. Part of me being able to tell you stories about Randy isn't coming from Sunday mornings alone. It has to be an intentionality, a prioritization, a expectation of what God is going to do that transcends just Sunday mornings. And in that depth, there's something that gets mined out of our soul, whether it's unbelief, whether it's the uncertainty of life, knowing that somebody, oh man, you traveled that road already? Man, I got some faith now to believe I can travel it too. But that doesn't come just through surface contact. And God has called us into, when you got saved and right with Jesus, you not only got baptized into the faith, like it or not, you got baptized into the church. And my last thought on that is some of us are dealing with some real challenges as it relates to community because of your past. Maybe you have that proverbial phrase, church hurt, and that can be genuine. I would just simply invite you, if that's you, come up to the front this morning, open up the altars, and we just want to pray with you. No obligation, no, oh, we pray for you, so now you should know. We just want to pray for you that God might speak to you and bring the healing that you need. Faith believes God works through his people. We cannot become all that we are apart from the church, and the church can't become all that it's supposed to be when you are not apart. Here's my third and final point. Be an explorer. Be an explorer. Rather than be stagnant, explore the power of the gospel. Let me jump back to the text. It says in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." That might not be the prescription we want to operate by. But this is God's plan. And God's plan is what he has given us to say, if you'll do this, you will see redemption. Let me break down this text a little bit more. What is Paul saying here? He's saying that the gospel brings Jews and Greeks together, people with completely different states of cultural beliefs, wrong thinking, idolatry, and reveals to them the goodness of God, that by faith they become righteous. Jews who thought they were near to God, Greeks who thought they were distant from God, neither can be made righteous by works. It's only by faith. He highlights that it is the power of God for salvation, resulting in this increasing number of people coming to faith. So when Paul talks about going from faith to faith, he means one thing primarily, that there's this encounter of the gospel by Jews who were near to God, who then have a revelation of Christ, and in that revelation of Christ, they now are made righteous by faith. But that same gospel then gets communicated to Gentiles or Greeks, and they have a revelation of who Christ is, and now they become the faith. And now two people groups who have nothing in common now are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there's this increasing of faith, meaning increasing of the number of peoples as the gospel gets preached in different generations and times and cultures and settings, where more and more people, because it is the righteousness of God that is revealed from faith to faith, more people increasing, because when it's preached, because it's his word, because it's his power, people get saved. Now, that phrase, faith to faith, is not just about the mere advancing of the gospel. It also has implications for our own personal faith, that our own personal faith can grow. Jesus said that some of us have ye of what? Little faith. Then you also highlight people who have what? Great faith. Right? So there can be this faith to faith, this measure of increasing faith in our own personal journeys. You following me so far? Now, if the gospel is the power of God to salvation, it's also the power of God for us to go from faith to faith. What do I mean by this? Be an explorer, James. What are you talking about? Well, I thought I would bring back an oldie but goodie to help us explain this. Y'all remember Dora the Explorer? There she is. Oh, my goodness. There's her in Boots, right? Oh, my goodness. Man, we're going to go to Abuela's house. We're going to teach you a little Spanish, maybe holler at Diego. Man, it's going to be great, right? But, of course, it's not great, because every time, every episode, they're on the path, and there's what, an obstacle? And then while they're not looking, who comes? Swiper. Swiper, no swiping. Swiper, no swiping, right? So what's going on here? Dora's like, man, you know what? I'm like, what's she going to do? How does she navigate this? We're going to get to that in a second. But the obstacles are very important for us to understand what's going on here. The obstacles are like our journey of faith. Man, we think we're just going to, go play some basketball today. Man, I'm just going to go to work today. And then life circumstances hit us. Man, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, turn on the news and, you know, maybe watch a little political commentary. Swiper, no swiping. So there are things in the culture that want to rob us of our faith. There are obstacles that we should expect that we are going to have to endure. We should don the posture and the mindset of an explorer, expecting that there will be obstacles, expecting there are things out there that are robbing us of our faith, that are present in the culture, and some of those things we may unintentionally participate in. Swiper, no swiping. What does this mean for us? Well, Dora is, if anything, she knows she's got a little friend with her. And if you remember the friend, anytime she got in trouble, she'd call on backpack, backpack. And every scenario, in every situation, when she was in trouble, the backpack had the answer. She was never ill-equipped. The gospel is not only the power of God to your salvation, the gospel is the power of God from you to go from faith to faith. For every obstacle, every measure of unbelief, it has an answer for all the issues the culture says that the gospel doesn't. That's not true. You are not ill-equipped. You, my brother and my sister, you are carrying around the truth of the good news inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not ill-equipped. You have your backpack, and it has the answer for every season of life that you're in or will be in. You will be journeying from faith to faith. You just need to take it out and you need to explore its depth and its goodness. There's a breadth of the gospel that we don't have time to get into in this time together. But if you're willing to step inside of it and say, man, let me just, okay, there's this measure of unbelief in my life. Let me see what's inside this backpack and see. Let me understand this a little bit more. What am I saying? I want to make this crystal clear because this is such an important point. An explorer believes they have what they need for the journey and are trained and equipped to use what they have. The gospel is all that we need for the journey. Within it is the power to address the obstacles of life and the unbelief that surrounds us. Going from faith to faith means this. I want to give you some practical points here for this. First and foremost, believe that the power is available to you. Second, seek revelation through asking God, not just reading his word, study his word, and even church history. Put the revelation into practice. Get further training and equipping. Let me give you a quick example out of my life so that way we can land this plane. Very recently, I would say, well, not so much recently, maybe over the last 4 or 5 years, I had to come to I had to be honest with myself. I had some unbelief in the area of healing. Like, theologically, yes, God heals. Pray, no. And I had to be honest about that. So when I was in that moment, I had a choice. I could play it safe, or I could believe that there's power. I don't know how to get there because living by sight would suggest play it safe. But if the gospel is the power of God, not only to salvation, but the power from faith to faith, then there is an opportunity for me to step into something. So I chose to say, Lord, I can't see it, but I believe you. So that's step number one. Believe that the power is available to you. Here we get to step number two. So I started to pray and ask the Lord. All right, Lord, what should I do? He started giving me a little bit of revelation. Here are some scriptures you need to read. Fast forward, about a year and change ago, I'm in my life group at the potluck, okay, in my life group, and we're just sharing about what we feel like we're struggling with. And I lay it out on the table again, transparency. Man, I'm still struggling with this area of having faith for healing. And we said, well, let's just pray and just see what God says. Revelation comes. Teach on it. I'm like, you want me to teach on something that I'm not even fully believing? Yes. And here's where the obedience comes. So I do some preparation. Last August, we have a training and equipping moment on healing. Me and Devon co-taught it. Somebody got healed. Now, let me tell you, step four, get more further training and equipment. I'm in my shower early this year. I'm like, Lord, I'm still trying to process this. He says to, well, I'll name the person, it's not important, say, you need to listen to this person. I started listening to this person. I was like, psh, my faith's starting to do like this. Each step along the way, my faith went from this to this to this. And now we're going to invite some people from Kings Park next month to come at our next Word and Worship to teach more on healing and the gifts. Okay? I'm being vulnerable and transparent to you, even as, oh, you're a pastor. You're supposed to have faith for everything. No, it doesn't work that way. Every single one of us have areas of our life where we need to believe God more. There's not a one of us in here. So I'm being incredibly transparent to you so that you can be honest with yourself and God so that he can take you what? From faith to faith to faith. Amen? With that said, I know there's some of us in here that are maybe in the same place. Man, I know there's some stuff in my life that, yeah, I really want to believe God more for. But sometimes we don't really know. Maybe we're in a place of stagnation and we just don't even see where we are. So as I get ready to close, I just want us to go through a couple of questions just for us to reflect on. And then we're just going to simply make some room here for just a few minutes and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Can we do that? Got our questions. Thank you. So when making major decisions, do I begin with God's word or with my own preferences? If scripture challenges my natural instincts, which one usually wins? If my achievements disappeared tomorrow, what would remain true about me? Then the next slide. A little bit of a comparison here. When I'm uncertain, do I wait until everything is clear, everything's good? Or do I obey the light God has already given me? When I'm facing lack, do I depend only on myself or work faithfully while trusting God's provision? You can go to the next slide. Am I evaluating God's promises by my circumstances or my circumstances by God's promises? What are you believing God for in this season of your life? What has God done in my life in the last month, 6 months, or year? What change in my character has God done recently or is doing? I'm just going to take 2 minutes. DJ, if you want to just cycle through those again over the next 2 minutes. Let's just quiet ourselves. You can close your eyes if you need to. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. keep your eyes closed. Father, we just thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. Thank you for your truth. We thank you for the good news. That's good news every day. Holy Spirit, breathe afresh on us. Take us from faith to faith. Let's do this one last thing as we get ready to close. If you know that's you, man, I really want to believe God more in this area of your life. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand high. I'll give you an invitation to do two things. I want to just join me in prayer right now. But for some of you, you need to come to the altar so that we can walk alongside you, and that by the power of the Spirit, it's not just having a moment, but that there will be a genuine shift in the direction of your life. So, Father, you saw these hands. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring the revelation, bring conviction where they need it. Lord, that their hearts would be aligned to obey the revelation. And Lord, would you calm the waters of their soul where they need it, Lord, to trust and believe, Lord, that the path you want to take them down is right, good, and true, because you only give us good gifts. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. He's good. Praise God. All right, well, we're getting ready to wind things down. Our altar workers will be here up front. So if that was you, you feel that need to come forward, please do. Again, if you're a first time here, we encourage you to go to our connections table out in the lobby. I'm super excited for next Sunday, as we've got a special. You're special in one sense, but you're here with us, your family. Austin Robert Shaw is going to bring the word next Sunday. So excited about that. So we're all wrapped up. Pastor Beatty, anything for the common good? We're good. We're good to see you. You have a great Sunday. You're dismissed.